The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to bring out the better worldian in all of us. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio with your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. Better Worldians Radio inspires you with the people and ideas that are making the world a better place. You'll hear how small acts can make a big difference every day. Now, here are Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory.
Hi, this is Ray Hansel. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio. Better Worldians Radio is a weekly broadcast whose mission is to uplift and inspire you to make the world a better place. Every week, we are speaking with best-selling authors, film producers, TED speakers, happiness experts, and also everyday folks just like you whose small acts are making a big difference in the world. And that's why we call them Better Worldians. And speaking of Better Worldians, let me now introduce you to my co-host, Mary Sue Hansel and Gregory Hansel. Mary Sue has been a successful entrepreneur and business executive for over 30 years. She's also an avid practitioner of the healing arts, positive psychology, and spirituality. And now here's my life partner, Mary Sue.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here with you today to share all the good that's being done in the world. Now, let me also introduce Gregory Hansel. Gregory has a background in philosophy and world religions, and most importantly, has spent over 15 years at the intersection of technology, social causes, and big ideas.
Hi, this is Greg. I'm so glad you can all join us here on Better Worldians Radio. Let me first just tell you a bit about my dad, Ray, who you just heard from. He's a serial entrepreneur who successfully founded and with Mary Sue took public a national marketing firm. Giving back has always been really important to Dad, who supports many causes, especially disadvantaged children and their families. And by the way, we're the family team that created the popular social game on Facebook called A Better World. It rewards players for doing good deeds while helping to raise money and awareness for charities. To date, over 22 million good deeds have been done in A Better World by more than 2.5 million people. And in the month of July, we're supporting One Simple Wish, a nonprofit that's brightening the lives of children in foster care and at-risk youth, one simple wish at a time. When our players complete 500,000 good deeds within the game, we'll donate funds to grant wishes for 3 children in need as they search for their forever families. Joining us this week on Better Worldians Radio are Michael Solomonov and Felicia D'Ambrosio of Federal Donuts. They have recently launched a Kickstarter campaign to fund Rooster Soup Co., a new restaurant that will donate 100% of its proceeds to Broad Street Ministry in Philadelphia to help feed the homeless. Also joining us on the show later will be Reverend Andy Greenhow from Broad Street Ministry.
Let me start by introducing you to Michael and Felicia, a 2011 James Beard Award winner for Best Chef Mid-Atlantic. Chef Michael Solomonov is the executive chef at Zahav, Philadelphia's renowned modern Israeli restaurant. Known for his extraordinary skill at transforming simple foods into artful culinary masterpieces, he is widely regarded as one of the city's top young chefs and entrepreneurs. In addition to his duties at Zahav, of which he is co-owner of several restaurants, including Federal Donuts, a mostly takeout donuts and fried chicken shop serving exceptional coffee, cake, donuts, and fried chicken. He's also a graduate of the Florida Culinary Institute in West Palm Beach, Florida. Born in Israel, he grew up in Pittsburgh, and he now calls Philadelphia home. Felicia D'Ambrosio is co-founder and communications chief of Federal Donuts, the country's first fried chicken and donut shop called World Class by New York Times restaurant critic Pete Wells. When not happily lashed to her laptop, she enjoys yoga, farmers markets, and live music experiences where she can dance awkwardly without judgment. Michael, Felicia, it's so great to have you join us today on Better Worldians Radio. Michael, Felicia, it's so great to have you with us today on Better Worldians Radio. Thanks for coming on board.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay. To begin with, why don't you tell us a little bit about Federal Donuts and exactly what you serve?
So Federal Donuts, we do Korean-style fried chicken.
we do cake donuts, and we do coffee.
Oh, okay. And doing
we call the three major food groups.
Three major food groups, okay. All right. And making the chicken served at Federal Donuts, some parts of the bird, I understand, get thrown away. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, we just switched to using Amish and natural chickens, and we were presented with these whole chickens. And growing up in Jewish households, the chicken backs and some of the chicken wings and some of the drumsticks and that sort of stuff always gets turned into soup, which is arguably maybe the best product of chicken. It's sort of nourishing and it's really healing. And we thought that, why not do something with that rather than just throw it out? Steve, who's our business partner, sits on the hospitality board of Broad Street Ministries, and we thought that why not create a chicken soup restaurant, basically a restaurant that was built on using these parts of the chicken that we don't use for Federal Donuts, and take 100% of the proceeds and give it to people that are in need.
So your first thought was to make the soup with the leftover chicken, and that would go to the hungry. But then I understand you realized you could have a greater impact with a different approach.
Yes.
Like that?
Absolutely. Well, I think that, I think it was probably my idea, which was a very short-sighted. I was like, well, why not just give chicken soup or chicken broth or chicken bones to shelters? But what's interesting, Broad Street Ministry is, in addition to feeding people that are hungry, that are in need, it also, there are plenty of social services, and for instance, mailboxes, we're at like 1,700 people, I think their address is at Broad Street Ministry. So there's, in addition to obviously feeding people that are hungry and in need, there are services that that help people in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. And so this Rooster restaurant will be a regular restaurant where the general public can come to eat lunch on a regular basis, isn't that right?
Oh, yes.
And you anticipate sort of what kinds of food will you be serving at that restaurant?
Well, it's going to be all based on soup. And Felicia, do you want to take this?
Yeah, so Rooster Soup Company is going to be kind of like Federal Donuts, a place that you can go in, grab something to eat, you can sit down and chill, or you can take it with you. Very friendly, and just the kind of place, anybody might want to go for lunch. So it's just a restaurant for regular people. And we're basically going to make super delicious soup from this really excellent chicken stock we're making from the Federal Donuts chicken backs. And we already have a few ideas. Mike and Steven have come up with some really delicious items that we're excited to premiere when we get this Kickstarter fully funded. And we actually have added a Kickstarter reward where if you back us for $100, you will be invited to the Rooster Soup pop-up, which will be the first time any of these menu items are debuted and everyone will get a chance to taste them and see what they're in for when we get the restaurant open.
That sounds really very, very inviting. Now, you decided to team up with Broad Street Ministries, also in Philadelphia. So why did you choose that organization to be your partner in this situation?
Well, I think it happened pretty organically. I think that Stephen was on the board, and I think that it was something that we could get behind. What they do is unique, and it really it's inspiring. Once a quarter, our company goes and volunteers there, and I think anybody that has ever done that is always leaves sort of touched and with maybe more of a sense of purpose. So for us, it was an easy fit.
Mm-hmm. Felicia, do you have anything to expand upon on that as well?
I do. Broad Street, the way that they offer hospitality to their guests is the same way we offer hospitality to our guests in our restaurants. So I think, as Mike said, once you have been there serving lunch or dinner to the Broad Street guests, everyone is welcomed by a host and directed, to a table of their choice to sit down at a table with a tablecloth and a centerpiece and then served by a volunteer server, tableside, and there's, pitchers of water. And it's much more gracious and the way that you would welcome people into your home as opposed to the way that we think about feeding people who are hungry, which is often with a long line and a tray and a sort of like issuing of food. And we've learned from Bill Goldrer and Andy Greenhow at Broad Street Ministry that there is studies about trauma and harm that occurs to people who do wait in line for a long time for essential things like food, who often get to the end of that line and then there's nothing there for them. And when that happens to you repeatedly, you are traumatized by that experience. So Broad Street has really completely innovated the way in which help is offered, and I think it's incredibly equalizing. And for us, you know, we don't want to draw harsh lines between the people who are helping and the people who are receiving help. We're all just people, and that's how we feel in our restaurants too. So we just really identified with their mission and the way that they carry it out. It's really different.
Yeah, it sounds very unique and much more elevated than I think the picture many people have in their mind. So,
yeah, it's not a soup kitchen. It's just not. And, you know, that's one thing. People say, oh, you're going to open a soup kitchen. And we're like, no, we're going to open something like you've never seen before, totally different. And that's why we need crowdfunding to make it happen.
Absolutely. So, Felicia and Michael, how does a restaurant that donates all of its profits work? What's the business dynamics in that?
Well, the business dynamic, I mean, you know, I think that opening any restaurant is a challenge, and seeing any profit is a challenge. I think that keeping since the core of the product that we're serving is going to be donated by Federal Donuts, that gives us a leg up. Being really busy helps. I don't think our check average is going to be huge, but offering good value and expecting sort of modest returns is the way that we view it,
mm-hmm.
Which is what we actually do with all of our restaurants. I mean, we're not driving like fancy cars or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think, like anything, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. And the fact that all the chicken stock is going to be made and donated by Federal Donuts, and we've gotten a lot of support from some of our vendors. And given the success that our Kickstarter campaign has had, we think that the guests and the diners are going to be enthusiastic and willing to help. So much like Federal Donuts, it's not very expensive, but we, I think, provide very good value, very good customer service, and a very consistent meal. And with that, hopefully we'll be pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a really extraordinary collaborative effort, because it's much more than cash. It's the contribution by the vendors. It's a lot of your customers coming into play. So I think that this is a really interesting campaign, and I think that the entire Kickstarter campaign, which we'll get into it a little bit later in the show, is I think a perfect venue for helping to get this off the ground. Can you tell us a little bit about the projected annual profits? What do you think you could expect at the end of the year, and how do you think that that's going to serve Broad Street Ministry?
I'm not sure. You know, Steve and I were talking about it. Felicia, do you have any idea?
I believe Steve projected first-year profits around $50,000, and then second and third year even doubling to like $100,000 once the business is more mature. But basically, Steve expects, you know, a modest return, but because of the reduced food cost and labor cost associated with the donated stock, we should have a higher profit margin than a typical restaurant that has to pay full price for all their food.
Yeah, that's a built-in advantage right there. So the profit should be better, which ultimately, I guess, in that case, comes back specifically to the ability to have a bigger contribution to the Broad Street Ministry. We'll be getting into a little bit more with the Broad Street Ministry folks in this next segment coming up. But before we do, is there anything else you think that you know, you want to add to how you feel the Broad Street Ministry will benefit from this?
Oh, gosh. I mean, they're going to, hopefully Broad Street's message is something that the whole city should be behind. And I think that more awareness. And, you know, I think that anybody that comes in and gets a bowl of soup, in addition to nourishing themselves or experiencing something new from, like, a foodie perspective, is literally helping out somebody else that needs it. And having that sort of spiritual and emotional interaction is only beneficial.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a break right now, but we'll talk with Reverend Andy Greenhow and my co-host Mary Sue when we come back and find out a little bit more about Broad Street Ministry's participation in this. In a few minutes. In the meantime, I'd like to offer this challenge to our listeners. If you know someone whose acts, no matter how small, are making a difference in the lives of other people, we'd love to hear about them. Please send us an email at radio@betterworldians.com. We'll be right back.
the Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from then on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a better worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Better Worldians Radio, with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
Hi, you're listening to Better Worldians Radio. We're talking about the Kickstarter campaign to fund Rooster Soup Company, a new restaurant that will donate all of its profits to Broad Street Ministry in Philadelphia. Now it's time for me to introduce you to Reverend Andy Greenhow. Reverend Greenhow is the Minister of Stewardship, Congregational Partnership, and Belonging at Broad Street Ministry, a broad-minded faith community committed to extending radical hospitality to all of Philadelphia, but particularly those least likely to receive it anywhere else. He is an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church, having received his Master of Divinity degree at Princeton Theological Seminary, where he was the recipient of the Frederick and Cleta R. Mathias Memorial Prize in Worship and Pastoral Ministry. So let's welcome Andy and Mary Sue.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Glad to have you with us today. We're very
happy. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
We're very anxious to hear all about what Broad Street Ministry does. We heard a little bit from Alicia and Michael, but let's hear it from you. What does it do, and who does it serve?
Well, yeah. So Broad Street Ministry is a faith community in Center City, Philadelphia, and we have three main areas of programming. First, we have a Sunday worship, residential worshiping community, and we have a youth education program where youth groups and college groups from around the country come to Broad Street and learn about, social justice and that kind of stuff all through the city of Philadelphia through immersive trips. But the area of programming we've been hearing all about today is our hospitality collaborative. So that's the hospitality collaborative is made up of four weekly community meals, and then all the social services that go on surrounding that meal. So we do we have a clothing closet, personal care items. Mike mentioned 1,700 people getting their mail here. We serve at the mailing address, access to medical care, that kind of thing. But through it all, basically, we see ourselves as a community space for anyone in Philadelphia who wants to come. And most of our guests are people who experience hunger, homelessness, and poverty, a lot of mental illness, and some addictions as well. So, yeah, that's a little bit about us.
Yeah, can you explain a little bit more about the scope of the need there in Philadelphia?
Sure. Yeah, it's Philly's a city. It's the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection, and it was built on a lot of big ideas, and it's a city that can be tough to break into. Where the people are tough on the outside, but very soft and kind on the inside. But
yeah.
We're the poorest large city in the country. There's a point in time count that people do every winter to sort of establish how many people are living with homelessness, how many people are living outside of a traditional house or who are living on the streets. And when we did that count in January, that number was over over 5,700 people. So, you know, we're one of the hungriest congressional districts in the country. The first Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania First District includes Philadelphia and includes the great city of Chester. And, you know, so we experience quite a lot of need here in Philly. There's, you know, cuts to public benefits, rising cost of essentials. It makes it very difficult. But the thing that we're really committed to at Broad Street, and the thing that, that our friends at Federal Donuts are also committed to, is that, sure, there's a huge scope of need, and sure, it's growing all the time, but we try to be about possibilities. This is like the Rooster Soup Company and Broad Street and Federal Donuts are all about possibilities, and there are a lot. So
to give our listeners a feel, how many meals do you serve, say, a month or a week?
Yeah, a couple different ways to slice it. We do over 1,200 plate servings per week.
Wow.
So this year we're on track to serve over 60,000 meals. Last year we did 51,700 meals, which was more than the previous 6 years combined. So we are growing exponentially. We'll see probably 3,500 unduplicated people over the course of this year. But at a given meal, that's anywhere from 300 to 475 people. So,
you know, Michael and
quite a few.
Yeah, so that's a wonderful amount. Michael and Felicia were saying that no one waits in line there. So to give our listeners a picture, how does it work? When people come in like in a regular restaurant? Or?
Well, so the traditional soup kitchen model, right, is you form a line out the door. And then what you do is you get your tray and you walk through the line and someone hands you a plate and then they sort of scoop the stuff you know, onto your plate. And there's the sneeze guard kind of in between, right? We wanted to do this without any sneeze guards, basically.
Uh-huh.
No, what Felicia and Mike were saying is absolutely right. What we have seen is that with guests, our guests who've experienced incredible trauma in their lives, trauma through poverty, hunger, homelessness, all these sorts of things, that when you or I stand in a line, we know that when we get to the end of the line, what we're waiting for is going to be there. Like if I'm at the will call window at the Philadelphia Orchestra across the street from my church here, if I call ahead, my tickets are going to be there when I get there. The experience of our guests is that there's not going to be food when they get to the end of the line. So what we've done is our director of social services is a visionary guy. His name is Ed Conboy. And he said, we're going to deliver all of these services without ever having a person stand in a line. So our guests self-select where they want to sit. A waiter or waitress, a server comes and brings it to their table. If the dining room's full and we can't accommodate everyone who's in the room, we have a waiting area up at the front of the sanctuary. And, you know, you come in, you say to the person at the maitre d' stand, you know, my name's Andy, there's two in my party. And we say, okay, great. You know, have a seat over there, Andy. We'll call you as soon as there's a spot available. So it's you know, we want to make sure that we do this in every single thing that we provide. We do it without a line. We do it with maximum personal connection, using names, all that kind of stuff. And that way we can reduce some of the trauma of our guests.
Well, you know, that sounds wonderful. It sounds like it really builds their self-esteem and makes them feel very important.
That's the hope. Like, we want our guests to feel like they're going into Federal Donuts or that they're going into, you know, one of these great restaurants that the city of Philadelphia has to offer. You know, the only difference is we're not going to bring them a check at the end of the meal, you know. But that's, other than that, it's just like a restaurant.
You know, Andy, I've seen pictures of the food that you serve there on, you know, some videos and on the web pages.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good. Who prepares the food and what kind of food do you serve?
We are really, really, really very proud to say that we have our very own executive chef. Chef Steve Seibel is our executive chef. He's been with us about 2 years, and prior to this, he was a chef manager, sort of like a sous chef in the executive dining room at the Comcast Corporation. He was on the top floor of the Comcast Tower, and then he came down here to be with us. So he's a total pro. He orders all the food. He does creative stuff and some classics. So I was asking him this morning what we're doing today. Today he's doing hot open-faced turkey sandwiches, you know, just some old-fashioned comfort food. But yesterday he did a classic Mexican mole, you know, where he made, you know, he used the big bricks of chocolate and the, you know, the raw onion right on top. Like, he does classic dishes from around the world, and then he does comfort food. He does all kinds of stuff. He is the best.
That does sound really
proud of Chef Steve.
Can you talk a bit about what you mean by the abundance. I've seen that word on your website. What does that mean to Broad Street Ministry?
Yeah, abundance is one of those things where we've learned a lot about our approach to serving our guests. So it started with us saying, we have more than enough. We have an abundance. There will be seconds if there's enough. There will be thirds if there's enough for that. And what we've found is we've actually sort of, we've taken the abundance thing and sort of morphed it a little bit. And what we're saying now is, what we saw with our guests is that when they have been traumatized or living in poverty, when our guests experience abundance, they assume there won't be enough for later. So if we say that we have more than enough, it actually triggers hoarding. Like our guests will sort of pull out Pyrex things in their bags and start scooping food in because they believe that there won't be enough for later. So we've moved away from the idea of abundance, and what we're saying now to our guests is there is enough for everybody. However many people come through the door, there will be enough for them. There's enough for you. There will be enough today, and there will be enough tomorrow. My sort of, I'm a Presbyterian minister, and so I like to look to Scripture sometimes for this stuff. And I look at the story of the manna in the desert. You know, when the Israelites had enough food for every day, and they were told, if you hoard it, it will go bad by tomorrow, but there will be enough for tomorrow. So we've kind of taken the abundance thing and just tweaked it a little bit with the trauma of our guests and really focused in on enough. There is always enough for you. And we find that really works.
Reverend Andy, could you share with our listeners a personal story of maybe one of your guests of how the Broad Street Ministry really impacted their lives?
Man, there's a lot of really good stories. I'm thinking about, there was a woman who got her mail here at Broad Street. She was one of our very early on mail subscribers. And she struggled a great deal with alcoholism, and she was abused by her partner. They were living in the train station here. She disappeared for a while, and we saw that there were medical bills piling up in her mailbox. So we called the hospital that the medical bills had come from and said, hey, do you have this person here? I'm not going to use her name, but do you have this person here? And they said, yes. We're wondering what to do with this person, actually. Could you come and pay her a visit? It turns out she had been involved in a train accident, and she was okay, but she was severely injured. And we worked with a number of different other care providers in the city that she was known to, and with this hospital. She ended up getting a settlement from the train company, and we were able to ensure that she was placed in a conservatorship, where this settlement was going to be effectively used, kept away from her abusive partner. And this woman is now living in an assisted care facility in Philadelphia. She is doing well. She is clean and she's sober. And she's got a place to be that's warm and safe. And she's not living in the train station anymore. And it happened because in part we saw that she was missing, and we saw that her mailbox was full of medical bills, and we knew we needed to do something. So I always, whenever I get discouraged, I think of that story and get re-encouraged again.
That's really nice. You mentioned some of these other services that you provide. You say people get their mail there?
Yeah. So the first thing you need to be able to do, this was shocking to me. If you want to access services that are available to you from the state of Pennsylvania, you need to prove that you're a resident of the state of Pennsylvania. But if you're homeless, how do you prove that you're a resident of the state of Pennsylvania? So, like, how are you supposed to do that? If you're homeless, you don't have identification because you don't have an address. So the first thing people need is a letter of residency that they can then take to the Department of Transportation, where they can get their identification and then go from there. We've had veterans who were told by the veterans, the VA, that you can't actually enter this building unless you have an identification card that you can leave at security.
Oh,
well, how do you get that if you need the services that are inside the building?
Oh,
so we started that with like 30 people, and that was 4 years ago or 5 years ago now, and we're at 1,700. We've never broken 2,000 people, but we hover around 1,700.
You know, I'm really interested in hearing how you feel about your partnership with the potential Rooster Soup company.
Oh, I'm overjoyed. It's I try not to be too much of like a fanboy. Like I try not to be too starstruck when I'm around the people that I'm working with right now, because like I used to live in New Orleans, so like I love the food scene. I love that world. And when I came back to Philadelphia for a lot of reasons, I was so thrilled that I was in a city with a great casual dining scene. And I remember going to my best friend's wedding reception that was at Zahab, where Mike, my co-guest here, is the chef. And I was like, I cannot believe that I'm eating this food. This is the most incredible stuff. And so when this project came up on our radar here at Broad Street, I said to my boss, Bill Golder, like, put me in. I want to be in the game. I want to be a part of this. I'm absolutely thrilled. And it means a great deal to me that these people that I admire for what they do are interested in the work that we're doing here. It just means so much.
Be hearing more about what they're doing specifically in this next segment, and also an awful lot about this in this next segment about the entire Kickstarter campaign, which has gotten off to a great start and is closing very strong. But in the meantime, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Michael, Felicia, and Andy, and my co-host Greg. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from then on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a Better Worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
Hi, we're back now with Chef Michael and Felicia of Federal Donuts and Reverend Andy of Broad Street Ministry. We're talking about a recently launched Kickstarter campaign to fund Rooster Soup Company, a restaurant that will donate 100% of its proceeds to Broad Street Ministry in Philadelphia.
Michael, Felicia, and Andy, hi, this is Greg.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Good. Hi. Andy, I just wanted to say to you first, actually, just coming off of Mary Sue's segment, I really admire what you guys are doing at Broad Street Ministries. I have some seminary training myself, actually, so I think what you're doing at kind of the intersection of service and really awesome food is actually a really great thing, and so thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Michael and Felicia, I was telling you during the break that I love Federal Donuts. I worship the food. I love the chicken. I think it's such a great cause. And that's why we wanted to bring you guys on to the show today. So thank you, first off, for a really great company and a cool idea.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So I wanted to talk a bit about the Kickstarter for either one of you that want to jump in first. For those that might not be familiar, if you wouldn't mind just saying, hey, what is Kickstarter?
So Kickstarter is a website that is a crowdfunding platform. So basically, if you have a good idea, you want to invent a product or start a business or a nonprofit, or like our friend Diva Watson, get enough money to build an art classroom for your, you know, inner city students, you basically can put up a campaign and ask people for money. And Kickstarter has a number of safeguards. It's linked to Amazon payments. And basically, if I pledge $20 to cause X, like Rooster Soup Company, if it reaches its funding goal, ours is $150,000, within a prescribed amount of time, our amount of time is 45 days, basically, you have backed, just like you would, you know, give your money to WHYY or like another sort of not-for-profit. You've backed the campaign, $20 gets deducted, you know, from your bank account, and this person, minus the fees that Kickstarter and Amazon takes, now has the startup capital to create the prototype of their product or launch their business or make whatever it is that they wanted to make. And there's a number of restrictions around Kickstarter. You can't use it for just anything, but it is fairly broad in application, and it's brought a number of interesting products to market. One recently is called the Oculus Rift, and it's a virtual reality goggle, like game kind of a system that has a number of applications, and it just went public, and I think, or Facebook, I think, bought it or something like that for like billions of dollars. So it's a relatively new platform, but crowdfunding seems to be something people are really excited about.
Well, thank you for summarizing that for everybody. You know, I was curious, why did you decide to take your plan for Rooster Soup to Kickstarter? You know, did you have the idea for a Kickstarter first or for the soup company? It was kind of a chicken and egg problem there, no pun intended.
Mike, do you want me to do this?
Sure.
So from my understanding, when one gets investors for a restaurant, you know, get a couple people together, one person, and you all put in an amount of money, and that's your startup capital. $150,000. It sounds like a lot of money, but it's not actually even enough to open a restaurant. You need more like $250,000 for a project like this. So basically, Stephen and Mike and Bill at Broad Street Ministry all kind of came up with this Rooster Soup Company crazy idea. And then, you know, we can't take on traditional investors because if I gave the project $10,000, I would expect, you know, $15,000 back over the next few years, not, you know, a zero return. So with crowdfunding, people receive a reward for backing the project, like a T-shirt or an invite to a party, but they're pledging far beyond the actual monetary value of the reward that they receive. So they're basically investing in your idea. This particular application is great for Kickstarter because you're investing, say, $20 now, but your $20 will continue to work in the form of business capital and create a return for Broad Street over many years to come.
Very cool. You know, I saw since I was a backer that your campaign got a lot of backing really early on. And what was it like to see that response from fans that they just piled in?
Well, we just became like junkies immediately, and we're just sitting at our desks refreshing Kickstarter and not doing any other work.
That's where the Cook and Solo headquarters is. Like, every computer is on the Kickstarter website.
Yeah.
And everybody's walking around with Ask Me About Rooster Soup shirts. We're like awesome robots.
Yep.
I like robots, too. What kind of rewards can people receive by funding the Kickstarter?
Oh, man. We got a few dinners at Zaha's, a lot of donuts. Many, many donuts. We still have a skydiving option, which nobody, which we only have about 8 days left for, right? Is that it, Felicia?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're going into our 8th day.
Right, exactly. So there's a skydiving with me and Mark Vetri. What else have we done?
There's all kinds of rewards, you know, from smaller contributions, like 3 donuts if you back us for $20, to much more extravagant and fabulous rewards, like a private dinner party in your home catered by Mike Solo. And, of course, he's not going to say this, but he won a James Beard Award in 2011, Best Chef Mid-Atlantic, and I think it's a hell of a deal. So I hope someone buys it soon.
Very cool. And I know there's been a really big response this week. It seems like there's been a nice tick starting on Monday. And you brought in some new cool rewards this week as well, right? Including like one of the new soups, I think I saw.
Yeah. If you back Rooster Soup Company for $100, you and a friend will be able to attend the first Rooster Soup Company pop-up, the first tasting of the menu, and the opportunity to try this before anybody else, as well as, you know, really make a significant impact in the campaign.
Well, tell the people at home how they can contribute.
You can go to Kickstarter.com and search for Rooster Soup Company. Or you could go to federaldonuts.com/main, M-A-I-N, and that's our website, which will take you directly to the Kickstarter link. You could also visit our Twitter or our Facebook for Federal Donuts. There are numerous links on both to the Kickstarter, Instagram as well. I think if you Googled Rooster Soup Company, you would probably get to us.
What does it tell you guys that people have been so enthusiastic in their support of Rooster Soup?
I think that it's because people like Federal Donuts. Fried chicken and donuts make people happy, and it's a simple concept. It's definitely a smiley and fun place. We try to make people feel welcome. It's the kind of food that's definitely a treat and fun to eat. So we're not so serious, you know, about how we do things, and we want Rooster Soup Company to be the same way. But we are serious about contributing to our community because we're citizens of Philadelphia. We live here, and every day we walk by people, all of us do, who are really struggling. And, you know, you could buy someone a sandwich, which is, like, a kind thing to do, but it doesn't make, like, a real significant impact in their life or change anything. So I think this is a way for those of us, you know, who are lucky to work and have homes and families to do something for our fellow Philadelphians who don't have those things. And we feel really obligated to do it because we're in hospitality. It's our job to offer hospitality. And I think people are like, yeah, you know, I want to help my fellow Philadelphians too, and in a real way. So I think that's why people are excited about Rooster Soup. And also, like, it's going to be amazing. I don't know if you guys have had our food yet, but it's pretty slamming. So we're excited to take another concept and go wild.
That's great. That's great. Did you know when you first came up with the concept from the get-go that you wanted to have this tie-in with something like Broad Street, or did that emerge later?
I think it sort of happened in the sink. I mean, I think that we were presented with sort of the chicken back scenario while I believe Steve had gone to his first board meeting at Broad Street. So it happened very organically and sort of naturally.
So where are you now with the campaign? How far do you have to go?
We are at $130,000. And let me look at it. Update. $130,870. So we are less than 20 grand away from our goal.
So what are some of the things you guys are doing here, you know, to really try to rev up support here at the end?
Well, we're absolutely reaching out to every single person we reached out to in the first place and being like, hi, I know you wanted to do this. Why don't you do it right this minute? Because the funding period is almost over. There's only 8 days left. We are doing total social media blitz from every outlet we have access to and asking our friends to help us with that. And, you know, we've been asking, you know, our friends, our entire staff is wearing T-shirts that say, ask me about Rooster Soup at, like, 7 restaurants. So there's a lot of on-site outreach that's going on, and thanks to you guys, people like yourself and the press, we've had an opportunity to spread the word.
So,
you know, one of our servers is running a race actually, and he's getting money. He's contributing that way. I think people are sponsoring him to run this race, so he's been raising money.
Yeah, Gabe's going to run the marathon.
Yeah, he's going to win too.
So will the chicken suit make an appearance that was there in the video?
Yeah, the chicken suit will make an appearance if somebody goes skydiving with me. Skydive with the chicken suit.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Now, is he going to make laps around Philly trying to rev up support?
The chicken suit? I will. Yeah, absolutely. I've been stretching this morning. My calves feel really good, so I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Very cool. So when will the restaurant open if it's funded?
That's sort of up in the air a little bit. We've got a couple... It's very difficult to sort of pinpoint a location before we actually reach our goal. So we'll probably know shortly after, in a few months.
Do you know exactly where it will be?
No, not exactly, but we've got our eye on a couple pretty key places.
Well, we have a little over a week before your campaign is over. You know, what do you want to tell someone out there that's on the fence about funding Rooster Soup?
gosh. Felicia, what do you think?
I'm so sorry. The phone was just ringing up here. Would you repeat the question for me?
Sure, no problem at all. You know, I was just saying we have a little over a week before your campaign is over. You're really close. You've been doing really well. But obviously, you still need some more people to make it happen. What do you want to tell somebody who's on the fence right now about funding Rooster Soup?
I think the first thing I would say is all of us spend money on things that don't matter every day because, you know, that's being a human. This is an opportunity to take some of your hard-earned money and spend it on something that matters so much that you can't even realize how much it will impact other people and will continue to work for many years beyond, you know, the $100 you give us today. So I would ask you to think about that and the fact that, you know, when you are lucky enough to have enough to eat and a choice in the matter and get to go find your favorite things and learn about new foods, there's many other people who just never experience that. And to be able to offer someone something that's both nutritious, appetizing, and served, you know, in a hospitable and caring manner means so much.
Andy, what would you want to add to that?
I would say that the opportunity that is presented with the Rooster Soup Company is so often these intractable social problems make us all feel very powerless. And the opportunity that is presented with the Rooster Soup Company is to walk past that person who's lying on the sidewalk or walk past that person who's holding a cardboard sign and to actually be able to do something. The challenges that we face in our cities, do I give this person money or do I not give this person money? Do I buy them lunch or do I not? Or does that only make it worse or does that make it better? The opportunity that we have here with the Rooster Soup Company is that we know that investment in the Rooster Soup Company and investment that goes back into our social services, our meals, and the community that we are building here, that is uncontrovertibly positive and something that makes our city better. That's why I think people should give.
Absolutely. I was wondering how the people at Broad Street are involved in the campaign.
Oh man, we're having fun with it. I'm spending a lot of time with it. Our chef Steve, who you heard about earlier, has just issued a challenge to the backers of the Rooster Soup Company. If we get funded by 11:59 next Tuesday, the 22nd, I believe it is, he is going to get the Rooster Soup logo tattooed on his arm.
Awesome.
As part of his full sleeve. So. We're in. We have got skin in the game, literally, in the case of Chef Steve.
Very cool. Well, you know, we have a question we'd like to ask of all our guests at the end of the show, and I want to give you each a chance to answer it. And in this case, that question is, what's your vision for how the Rooster Soup Company and the work being done at Broad Street Ministry can help make the world a better place? Michael?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I think that was sort of answered by Felicia and Andy prior, but I think that I think the dignity is really underrated, and I think that when you walk down the street and give somebody in need a quarter or a dollar, you're helping them out. You know, I think that it's very different than giving them a napkin, asking them how their day is going, serving them food, treating them like they're in your house, giving them medical services, giving them a mailbox, and giving them really a reason to want to get better. So I just think I think that sort of in this environment that we're in, it's like, do your work, get home, you know, power through the day. And I think these interactions that you have every day with people really matter, and they're sort of undervalued right now. So I think that promoting that, and I think that giving the opportunity for people to get better and to be in a better position in life, I think is the most important thing, and it's our responsibility as humans. So I
Felicia,
think fulfilling responsibility is the way to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. Felicia?
I mean, a restaurant's a little community, so all of us who've worked in the food business have experienced that feeling of being in like a weird family. Which I think is like really valuable, and I get the same feeling at Broad Street that I'm in a weird family, which makes me really happy. And I think there's a lot for me to learn as someone who's non-religious and does not subscribe to any particular faith, to be around people who practice faith and act, you know, in the way that they say that you should, which is to like reach out your hand to your brother
and share. So it really, it means a lot to me, like, personally. And I feel good about helping people, and now I'm, like, addicted to fundraising from doing Kickstarter. It's really fun. So I feel like once you start doing this yourself, you get, like, you get weirdly infected by it, and you can't stop caring. So once you get an opportunity to care, I think a lot more people will as well, and they'll see that they want to do this and buy soup and volunteer and do something real.
Very cool. And Andy, I just wanted to ask you last, you can kind of bring us home. You know, what's your vision for how Rooster Soup Company and the work being done at the ministry can help make the world a better place?
My vision is I said before, you know, Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection, and sometimes we really do that well, and other times we forget that. My vision for the Rooster Soup Company and for Broad Street Ministry and for Federal Donuts making the world a better place is I want people to go into Rooster Soup to have a delicious bowl of soup, and then to sort of look at what's going on around them and to say, like, how on earth did this happen? Like, how did Broad Street Ministry and Federal Donuts decide that they were going to do this together and then brought me into the equation to have a part, have a say in fixing the city and making it a better place? And then I want those people to go forth into the world and empowered and inspired to do crazy things themselves. This is a crazy idea, and I believe it can lead to other crazy ideas. That's, for me, why it's going to make the world a better place.
Andy, this is Ray. We concur 100%. I mean, you guys are doing a really serious work here for the city of brotherly love, and what a great idea, and what a crazy idea. It's a serious idea, but anybody that skydives in a chicken suit, right off the bat, you know, is less than overly serious.
Yeah, speaking of crazy family.
That's right. That's right. Before we go, I'd like to announce on behalf of the Better Worldians community, right before we started this episode, we donated $500 to the Kickstarter campaign to support the Rooster Soup Company.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so
That's
much.
That's awesome.
You're welcome. And we encourage all our listeners to jump in and do likewise to help these guys cross the finish line. There's only 8 days left. They only need a little bit more money. Let's get it done. In the meantime,
thank you, guys.
You guys are very, very welcome. And you can find out more, by the way, about Kickstarter campaign. Just go to federaldonuts.com or go to kickstarter.com and search Rooster Soup Company. Michael, Felicia, Andy, we'd like to thank you for joining us today on Better Orleans Radio. And we wish you all the best of luck with Rooster Soup.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
As we end our show, I'd just like to share our Better Worldians mission here. We strive to make the world a better place as well by encouraging the very best in everyone. We focus on positive thinking, positive values, and positive actions. In short, our vision is to bring out the Better Worldian in everybody so that we can all make it a better world. And today, we witnessed exactly that in action with a bunch of crazy folks down in Philadelphia who are doing amazing things. So please, listen next week when we'll be talking with Ryan Hurljack about founding Ryan's Well when he was only 6 years old. Ryan will talk about how his organization has provided clean water to over 800,000 people in the world. We'd like to thank everyone today for listening. You can join the Better Worldian community at betterworldians.com. And until next time, everybody, be a better worldian.
Thank you again for helping make the world just a little bit better this week. Please join your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope we've inspired you to do one small thing to help make a big difference. Join us at betterworldians.com to tell us what you've done to change the world. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.